Okay, all right. Okay, oh, you know what? I want to make sure I'm recording here. I'm sure we are, but let's see. I don't want to go all the way through this and find out that I didn't record, so let me just double check. Okay, we're recording. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. Can you see that? Is it showing up? No. Okay. Okay, we're having a problem with sharing here. Just a second. Okay. All right. Okay. Hallelujah. I can edit out the beginning, so hallelujah. Okay, we're going to be in Joel again, chapter 2, but the latter part of the last actually four verses, speaking of the outpouring of the Ruach. Elvina Mokano, our Father, King Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive, Father, what your word is saying to us today, Father. And we receive it with joy and thankfulness, Father. In Yeshua's name, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, praise you, Father. Okay, there's me. Okay, so we're going to open up. Now in the Jewish Bible, you're going to see that their chapter breakdown is a little different. Where in the Christian Bibles, we break this section is verse chapter 2, 28 to 32. But in the Jewish Bibles, even though it's the same, it's a complete, you know, Joel, they break this into chapter 3, 1 to 5, and I think they were correct in doing it this way. And then they have a chapter 4, which is our chapter 3, but I like how they broke it down and focused on these five verses. And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in earth, and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those that escape, as the Lord had said, and among the remnant, those whom the Lord shall call. Well, that's the Jewish Publication Society translation of those verses. And the reason I wanted to show that, I wanted to show you the different breakdowns in the Jewish Bible. If this is 3:1, and in the Christian Bible, so to speak, it's 2:28. Starts there. Okay, this chapter begins an entirely new phase of prophecy of Joel. That's why I believe they were correct in breaking it down, chapter 3, in this making this one chapter, in which he foretells of the messianic era that will take place in the end of days. And this is a quote from Rashi. In the final verse of the previous chapter, he described how the Jewish people will recognize the presence of the Almighty in their midst. He now goes on to depict how that recognition will increase in the end of days to a level which will preclude further sin. This is just a note that they had. This is from actually Trey Hassar. Not every person is capable of experiencing prophecy. Even with the proper training and preparation, it is only attainable by those who are granted the natural propensity for this achievement. Well, we know in the time of Elijah, they had what they call the school of the prophets, where they would train people who were called to be prophets how to flow in the prophetic word. Again, too, this is a gift. It says the Spirit wills that prophecy comes upon a person. Some people have that gift, that prophetic word, that prophetic gift in their life. Again, the prophets and the Tanakh, they were definitely anointed by God. And if you think of what they prophesied, because the criteria for being a true prophet is you had to be 100% correct or you got stoned. So you had to know that you know that you know that you heard from God before you say, thus saith the Lord. Because if you say, thus saith the Lord, and God did not saith you to telleth, you would be stoned. And the reason why, because they had to keep false prophets out of their midst. And we still have to beware of false prophets today as well. And the criteria is the word of God. Again, this is a commentary from the Jewish Study Bible. Men and women, male, female, and slaves, all are included. So when I first read that, okay, it says, okay, when you read that word all, you think it includes every single human being on the face of the earth. No, it includes those that are a part of, again, all the blessings in the time of the Tanakh were only for Israel. Okay, the blessings were not those for outside of Israel. They had to be grafted in, they had to become a part of Israel to receive and partake of those blessings. Okay, in the New Testament, we see that God is opening the doors, but again, it has to be through Messiah that you receive the gift of the Ruach. And I'm going to show you how the New Testament, how the apostolic scriptures answer this scripture about all flesh. Because again, as a believer, you know, well, God's not going to pour out his spirit on some unbeliever who's cursing God. So the all refers to those who believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his Messiah. Again, the key is before the great and terrible comes, which is, again, it says at the end of days. So even the prophets then knew that there were certain prophecies that were for that current time, speaking specifically for that people, but then a lot of times they'll jump to future, the end of times. And also prophecy can repeat itself, can be, you know, gone, can come to pass in a different way, but the same way, if you understand what I mean. The language evokes the plagues preceding the Exodus. So just as before the great deliverance, there is plagues and judgment that came on the Egyptians, so in the latter days, there's going to become plagues and judgment come upon those who have literally spit in the face of God, but have given plenty of chance to repent. And we're still in that time of repentance now, but there's going to come a time where the cup is full and it's God says, that's it. Some past Jewish interpreters understand this passage to be referring to the Messianic age. So even the early sages interpreted this, again, referring to the time of Messiah. The early assembly of Messiah followed this line of thinking as Peter quoted this passage on the day of Shavuot. We'll look at that later. So we know in Acts, Peter or Kepha specifically referred to this prophecy as coming to pass. So what he's saying, we are in those end of days. The minute Yeshua rose from the dead, we began the end of days and the time clock for him returning. Now that's been almost 2,000 years, so you can't tell me we're not at the end. We are not at the end of that time. After refers to a timeline, after assurance, if you read in the previous verses, let's go there, let's go to Joel, or read the previous verses of that, where God, again, whenever God brings correction, he also brings hope. And the purpose of correction was to bring Israel to repentance, and that's the same for us. Beginning with verse 18. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and will have pity on his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I am going to send you grain, new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied and full with them. And it will never again make you a reproach among the nations. Go down to verse 23. So rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad in Yahweh your Elohim. For he has given you the early rain for your vindication, and he has poured down for you the rain, the early and the latter rain as before. The fleshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. Then I will make up for you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust, the stripping locust, the gnawing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat and be satisfied, and praise the name of Yahweh your Elohim, who has dealt wondrously with you. Then my people will never be put to shame. Thus you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am Yahweh your Elohim, and there is no other, and my people will never be put to shame. Again, God's judgments were never to destroy Israel. They were to bring them to repentance. And a lot of times God used their enemies to humble them and bring them to repentance. You know, and the only reason that happened is because they didn't listen to the prophets who came before them and said, you can turn this judgment aside if you just repent, but they refused to repent, so the judgment came, but God always promised restoration for the remnant. So let's go forward here. The Jewish people, again, were amazed. Again, if we go to the book of Acts, when God, again, the Ruach HaKodesh in Acts chapter 2 fell upon the Jewish people first, as the Jews were there from every country, all over the world, and they saw the outpouring of the Spirit among their brethren, and they were hearing the gospel, the Besora, in their own language at that time. So let's look at Acts. Let's go Acts chapter 2 first, just to give a background for it. Because here, again, Peter is referring back to the book of Joel. Begin with verse 1. When the day of Shavuot had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing upon themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. Why? They were all there for the Feast of Shavuot, because we're commanded all the men were to come to Jerusalem for the feast. So you had Jews from all over the diaspora coming into Jerusalem. And when this sound had occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all of these who are speaking, why are not all of these speaking Galileans? How is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own language speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and with great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? So Peter, he gives them, again, what does this mean? He says, but this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel, or Yoel. And it shall come to pass, verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour forth my Spirit on all mankind. So here, this is the beginning of the last days. Hallelujah. And again, I believe we are living in the end of the last days. Because if you study prophecy and you see what's going on, again, studying prophecy is very important. So you know the signs of the times and you are aware of what's going on. He says, then I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. And again, all mankind is referring to your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even my bondslaves, both men and women, I will pour forth my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So here the all flesh meant not just the men, but the women, the children, all believers, the Jews. Acts 10:44. Kepha was still saying these things when the Ruach HaKodesh fell, and all were hearing the message. All the believers from the circumcision, referring to the Jewish, because the circumcision means those of the covenant, faction had accompanied Kepha, were amazed that the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh was also being poured out on the Goyim, or the nations, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So here again, God is opening up now these blessings to believers as well. And again, the Jewish people were amazed because they knew the blessings were for them. But here he says, there, you know, that same Spirit is falling upon the nations, and to qualify those who were believed in Yeshua the Messiah. Joel 2:28, and it shall come to after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit. And I'm going to look at each of these words, prophesy, dreams, and visions, because it's important. These are gifts of the Ruach. These are gifts that are being poured out, again, to encourage us. The Treasar says, the following will occur in the end of days in the times of Messiah. Others contend that the Messianic era is always alluded to in prophecy, specifically as the end of day. So for Jewish people, when they say end of days, if they're not believers in Messiah yet, they see it as the coming of Messiah, the first coming of Messiah. But we all agree that the end of days has to do with Messiah, even though it's Yeshua that is the one that is going to return that they're going to see. So the first word for prophesy is a Hebrew word nabah. That's a nun, a bet, and an aleph, nabah. The verb meaning, it means to prophesy, to speak by inspiration, to predict. This most commonly refers to the way in which the word of the Lord came to the people. Let's look at Jeremiah 19:14. I always like to read the reference scriptures because scriptures interpret scriptures, and you see the continuity all through the Bible. Then Jeremiah came from Tobeth, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus says the Lord of hosts. So again, when they qualified it, thus says the Lord of hosts, they're saying, this is what God is saying to you. This is the word of Yahweh to you. This isn't my opinion. I'm not just teaching you a nice lesson. This is from God. Go to Ezekiel 11:13. Again, the prophets, these prophets in the Tanakh were 100% accurate, and what they said came to pass and will come to pass. That's why the word says we have a sure word of prophecy, because of the accuracy of the prophets as they spoke according to God's word. Ezekiel 11:13. Now it came about as I prophesied. So again, here it's revealing a prophetic word coming forth, and that's the word nabah, a prediction. That Pelas, son of Bene, died. Then I fell on my face and cried out with a loud voice and said, alas, Lord God, will you bring the remnant of Israel to complete end? So again, here we see Ezekiel prophesying, and it comes to pass. There were various means in which people came to prophesy. Eldad and Medad became ecstatic when they prophesied. If we go to Numbers 11:25-27. So again, the word says we are not to despise prophecy or prophetic words. But just as the prophets had to be tested in the Tanakh, in the apostolic scriptures, it says the same thing. It says, do not forbid to prophesy, but test the spirits. You know, is this prophecy agreeing with the word? We still need discernment to discern, is this, yes, actually God giving us his word, or is it just the person, okay? And believe me, the Ruach will bear witness. Then the Lord, then Yahweh came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and he took of the spirit which is upon him, referring to Moses, and placed him upon the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do it again. So they prophesied as the anointing came upon them. But two men had remained in the camp. In other words, they were still in the camp. They weren't at the meeting. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other, Medad, and the spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those who had been registered but had not gone out to the tent, and they prophesied in the camp. So a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Like, it was like, I'm telling on you guys. Then Yehoshua, the son of Nun, the attendant of Moses from his youth, said, Moses, my Lord, restrain them. But Moses said unto him, Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Whereas the sons of Asaph used songs and instruments when they prophesied. First, let's go look at 1 Chronicles 25:1. Moreover, David and the commanders of the army set apart for the service of some of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and Juthun, who were to prophesy with lyres, harps, and cymbals. So again, God used music to bring prophecy forth as well. So we can't limit God. I've known of people that, you know, are prophetic and give forth words. There's some that are, you know, well known, and they used music as they prophesied. You know, others, you know, God uses, I think, our personality too, and, you know, our gifts. But again, we have to discern that anointing, and the test of a prophet is the same today. Did what he say come to pass? So we have to be careful if, you know, we say thus, you know, God showed me this, or God told me this, or speaking of forth that we're hearing from God. And you know, because it's going to come from your spirit, and it's going to be in line with the word of God. But if you don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, then they're not going to move. But God gave them to us as tools, as encouragement, as, you know, to show us forth. He will show us things. Even as a congregation, God will warn us, you know, of things to come. He will tell us of plans that he has for us. I've received words. And again, I don't, you know, when I receive a word from the Lord from somebody, I write it down. I pray over it. I do not act on it until I know that I know that I know that it's from God. You know, because some I know right away aren't, you know, but you know. How do you know? Because usually when you get a prophetic word, it's something that you've already been dealing with in your own heart, or it's in your heart and it comes as a confirmation. Okay, again, there was false prophets who also were known to prophesy. And when they found out they were a false prophet, they were dealt with quickly. And you can look at that scripture later. The next word is the Hebrew word for dreams, which is halom. It's a masculine noun referring to a dream. It refers to the sensations or images passing through one's mind during sleep, usually during the night. Now again, every dream you have is not prophetic. Okay, I mean, it's like, if it's prophetic, you will know it. And what I say, if you have a dream and you believe it's from God, write it down, you know, because a lot of times it's not really clear. It could be in the form of, you know, a vision or something more like an illustration type, like Perry Stone was sharing about before 9/11. He had a dream of four tornadoes hitting New York, or I think three were in New York and one was someplace else, and he didn't quite understand it, but he knew that it was judgment, that something bad was going to happen, because a tornado isn't something good, you know. So, and again, he shared it with his congregation even before 9/11, and I'm sure other people had prophetic dreams as well. And then 9/11 happened, and he understood it. So again, we need to, before I go to sleep, I always pray, Father, please protect my dreams. I plead the blood of Yeshua, you know, speak to me in my dreams and protect my dreams, because the enemy will try to attack you in your dreams as well. Hallelujah. So let's look at some of these scriptures. Genesis 20, verse 3. And again, I've had, as a child, I had a couple dreams and visions, and I never forgot them. It's like, when it's from God, you don't forget them. And they're usually very, you know, again, specific. Genesis 20, verse 3. And prophetic dreams aren't something that happen all the time. And again, it says Yahweh, you know, chooses who he's going to reveal something to. Genesis 20, verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night. So here we know Abimelech took Abraham's wife, who we thought was his sister, to add to his harem because she was very beautiful. Abraham said, well, that's, you know, she's my sister, because he was afraid of him, what he would do. He'd go, well, he'll kill me and take her. But God protected Sarah, because when she would, before he could touch her, he came to Abimelech in a dream, and to paraphrase, if you touch her, you're dead. Basically, that was it. You touch her, you die. You know, and he like, okay, returned her back. Like, he warned him in a dream. Go to Genesis 31:11. And this is regarding Yaakov. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes and see that all the male goats which are mating are striped, speckled, and mottled. So again, here, the angel of God said to him in a dream. So he dreamed what this angel was telling him. And he was, you know, the angel was actually giving him directions and speaking to him. Go to verse 24. God came to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream in the night and said to him, be careful that you do not speak to Jacob, either good or bad. So here, God is protecting Jacob by warning Laban in a dream, you better do right by this man. Go to Genesis, let's go to 1 Kings 3:5. Again, I believe it's important for us to pray before you go to sleep to protect yourself, because how many, I've been attacked at the night by the enemy, you know, either by, you know, a dream, like a terror, you know, a dream or a bad dream or something. And, you know, now I pray, Father, I plead the blood of Yeshua over my dreams, protect my mind as I sleep, protect my spirit as I sleep. You know, I only want to hear from you. And I also go to sleep sometimes just listening to praise music and let that, you know, be flowing as well. 1 Kings 3:5. In Gibeon, Yahweh appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said to him, ask what you wish me to give you. So here, as Solomon was sleeping, God appeared to him in a dream. And let's go to Isaiah 29:7. And a multitude of all the nations who wage war, Ariel, even all who wage war against her in her stronghold, and who distress her, will be like a dream, a vision of the night. Again, referring to that Hebrew word, halom. The phrase Baal Halamot means the Lord of dreams, or a dreamer, or one who interprets dreams. We see specifically Joseph. God appeared to Joseph in two dreams as a young man and showed him things to come. When he was in Pharaoh's court, God showed Pharaoh a dream, but only Joseph could interpret it regarding a famine that was going to come. So we see that dreams could be preparing us for future events. Okay, but in this one, but he also sometimes will give, like, you know, Pharaoh, who wasn't a believer, a dream. But only God's people, only Joseph could interpret it. And the issue was there was a famine coming, and God gave Joseph the interpretation of exactly what to do. Why? For the sake of his people Israel, because they would be dwelling in the land. Hallelujah. You can look up the rest of those. Daniel was a man of dreams as well. The Lord will cause old men to dream dreams in the latter days. God could give a person an understanding of dreams. False prophets could generate dreams out of their own minds. Again, you could read these, look up these scriptures. That's why when somebody said, oh, I have a dream, I had this dream last night, you know, we need to discern it and pray. Well, is God trying to show us something? Or, you know, again, we have to be very careful of wolves in sheep's clothing. That love to infiltrate congregations. Okay, we need to be careful who we let speak for us in the congregation as well. And we need to judge, you know, what is being said, especially if a prophetic word comes forth. And I come from a Pentecostal background before I came back to my Messianic roots. So there were gifts of the Spirit, but there was also order. You know, if somebody, if the anointing fell on somebody to give a word in tongues, there had to be somebody to interpret it, because otherwise it wouldn't benefit anybody. Or if somebody had a word of prophecy to exhort and encourage the congregation, it said, let it be by two or three, but no more, and let them judge that prophecy, that prophetic word. And again, it's in the Bible. So it's, you know, we need to, you know, ask God to use us in these gifts, because they are to encourage and exhort us. Again, there's many times where when I received a word that I needed that word. I needed, and I knew it was God who gave me that word, because it encouraged me and it strengthened me to go forward and bore witness with my spirit. Visions, the Hebrew word is hizyon. It's a masculine noun, meaning it could mean a dream or a vision. It could be an open vision or a vision in your dreams. A revelation. Again, when I had that dream as a young child, children are very open to the Spirit of God. You don't have to convince a child that God is real. It's when they get older and they get to be teenagers that they start questioning, but a child is open to the things of God. And I had, it was a dream, but it was a vision too. Because I was dreaming it, but then I was seeing it, and it was real, the vision I had. So again, the primary stress of this word lies on the means and manner of divine revelation. It is used in reference to revelations that come in the night, visions imparted, and dreams in a general sense. Again, you can look up these scriptures. Metaphorically, Jerusalem is called the Valley of Vision, alluding to the city as a center of prophetic activity. And we know that's true today, that the end of days center around Jerusalem. And I'm going to be looking at that a little bit down the road. All the prophets, all the Bibles of the prophets were from Israel. Our word, again, the Bible that God gave us, is a Jewish book. It's a Jewish Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Hallelujah. Again, these are just some more reference scriptures that you could look up. I'll just leave them here for a second. I'm not going to go through all of them right now because I got a lot to share. So here, Acts 2:1, again, we read that regarding the festival of Shavuot and how the Spirit came and fell upon the Jewish people at that time. And how they heard, again, God supernaturally gave them the ability to speak in other languages, which was understood by those from other countries as well. And that's happened. I remember reading, again, those who are, you know, poo-poo these things and don't believe it, well, then you don't believe the Bible. You know, it's like you want to believe what you want to believe. But there is a testimony of a Jewish man who wasn't a believer, and he had gone to this, it wasn't a Messianic congregation, I think it was a Spirit-filled congregation. And he, I think he had gone one time, and then he came back a second time, and a word came forth, and the woman was speaking it in Hebrew. And he understood everything was being said. And he went up to her, and he says, you know, well, how do you know how to speak Hebrew? She goes, I don't know how to speak Hebrew. She goes, I was just speaking forth what came out of my, you know, what was coming out of my mouth. And he told her what she said, and that, again, revealed to him, convinced him that Yeshua was the Messiah, and he came to faith. So we can't limit God. We have to be open to God. And I've heard that many instances where people, somebody would give a word in tongues and somebody would be there from another nation and understand exactly what they're saying, even though the person didn't understand who was given a force. Hallelujah. We are a God who performs signs and wonders. I don't limit God. Hallelujah. For these men, again, verse 2:15, these men were not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. Thought, man, they were just, you know, they had to be drunk because they were just like filled with the Spirit. They were just saying, you know, they thought they were just babbling at first. Again, he's quoting Joel, and it shall be in the last days. God says that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, Father. I claim that for unsaved children, that they're going to come to you, Father, and they are going to be used by you to prophesy in the name of Yeshua. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So again, it's not going to know any certain age. It's going to, whether you're young or old, the Ruach is going to be able to come upon you, and you can be used by him. Even on my bondslaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of Yahweh shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Yeshua the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through you, him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. So they knew who Yeshua was, because these are people who Peter was talking to, that you walked with him. You knew who he was. He goes, and these signs and wonders are attesting to who he is. Joel 2:30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Trey Hassar, this is a Jewish commentary, the prophet now goes on to describe the signs that the Almighty will place in heaven and earth to herald the destruction of the enemies of Israel. This will occur during the wars of Gog and Magog, a series of cataclysmic battles that will be fought prior to the final redemption. So again, even the Jewish commentators know that there's going to be a final war against Israel where all the nations are going to come against them, but God is going to destroy those nations. This is another commentary. That time I will produce omens, which are signs in the heaven and on earth to foretell of future events. A sign of blood will appear on earth to symbolize the great bloodshed which will occur, and lightning from heaven will strike the land, causing fires with them and pillars of smoke. And it's interesting because they brought back the word pillars is the word timara, and it's a feminine noun referring to a column, a pillar, and it refers to the caravan or royal carriage of Solomon that appears like a column of smoke. It also refers to a display of God's wonders on the day of the Lord, including a display of columns of smoke, literally or in some a figurative sense. The word timara is derived from hamar, a palm tree, as the smoke will rise in pillars which are high and straight like a palm tree. And if you look at now, everybody knows this is an atomic bomb. So again, this is a picture, a prophetic picture they were giving. Here's a palm tree, straight and tall. The biggest is towards the top. And the same thing you see, again, a nuclear blast. So this could be referring to, which we're believing, back then they didn't know what a nuclear blast was. But today we could see, yeah, that's a possibility. That is definitely a possibility of what they were seeing. These will portend the impending destruction of those nations who will join Gog and Magog in attacking Jerusalem. Others interpret this verse as describing how the Almighty will provide a clear sign of his presence through the wondrous manner in which he will destroy the enemies of Israel. The sword which smites them here on earth will cause their blood to flow, while fire will descend upon them from heaven and consume them in a pillar of smoke. Again, regarding the enemies of God. Now, Perry Stone has shared this, but God showed this to me before I ever heard Perry Stone say it, okay? But it just confirmed. When people were always wondering, well, where is this Antichrist going to come from? Where is it, going to? People were guessing, well, it's this one. During World War II, they thought it was Hitler. Another war, they thought it was somebody else. But there's specific signs that point to who he is. When we got attacked on 9/11 by Islam, and I was, again, studying Revelation, it is very clear that the anti-Messiah, and Perry Stone agrees and a lot of other people agree, that is going to come from Islam, the nation of Islam. Because they are able to raise up, again, they were, Perry Stone was sharing, they said there's a caliphate there when they want to unite all the Muslims together under one leader. They're the only, quote, religion that has no problem cutting off people's head. Revelation talks about how the end time people would be losing their heads. Well, it's happening now. After 9/11, how many times did we see on TV them cutting off people's heads and not thinking anything about it? Revelation 27:9, this is referring to, again, there's two scriptures mainly. referring to Gog and Magog. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand of the seashore. They marched across the breast of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured him. Now, this specific time is talking about after the 1,000 years millennium reign, when Satan is loosed for the last time upon the earth. But also, Ezekiel speaks of a time before the millennium. In Ezekiel 38:1-4, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Prophesy against him and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Gog, chief priest of Meshech and Tubal. And I believe, and I think Perry Stone said, that Gog is actually the principality that is over these areas. In case you don't know it, there are principalities and powers that are assigned over certain areas. We see that in Daniel, again, which revealed that. And when Daniel was praying to get in the understanding of the vision he had, Michael came to me. He says that the spirit over Persia hindered me for 21 days. So again, we know that there are different spirits placed over different areas at different times. Chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and bring you out with your whole army, your horses, your horsemen, fully armed in a great horde with large and small shields, all of them brandishing their swords. So again, when I was looking at these scriptures, I said, well, it looks like this is going to be in the commentary prior to the tribulation, but there's going to come a time when Satan is released at the millennium, that he's going to try an uprising one more time. And guess what? It is put down just like that. He doesn't even have a chance. So here we see, these are all the countries that are going to be coming and are coming against Israel now, but are going to be united. And if you notice, they're all Islamic countries. And this is a quote from Perry Stone regarding Gog and Magog. He says, Turkey, for some time myself, along with all other prophetic ministers, have been telling people that based upon historic documentation and biblical reference in Ezekiel 38 and 39, that the enemy from the north will be an Islamic army headed up by Turkey and not Russia, as has been taught. Now, I know I've been, you know, a believer for over 40 years, and I've studied prophecy for 40 years. And before, yeah, they thought, well, it has to be Russia or it has to be China. But according to scriptures, they're not coming from those areas. As Turkey will be the king of the north, we know that Turkey has a leader that is rising up in that land. Recently, the president of Turkey announced he was putting together a 5-million-man army from Islamic nations to stand against Israel and the Jews. This man is a dictator on the same line as Saddam Hussein, and this is aligned with what one will become, a 200 million soldiers marching across the dried up Euphrates River toward the valley of Jezreel. Again, there are billions of Muslims. For them to raise up a 200 million army is not beyond possibility. Again, later, Pat, okay. The Euphrates River toward the Valley of Jezreel. During our inside information at the prophetic summit, a high-ranking former Muslim with help explained what is going on behind the scenes. So again, there are people that are Muslims that are coming to Messiah who are aware of what is going on regarding the end times. And there's no question the Islamic goal is to take over the world and to turn the world into a Muslim society serving their God. They even want to turn the White House into a mosque. Again, they're not coming to America to assimilate and be, yeah, there are moderate Muslims, okay? There are peaceful Muslims. But I'm talking about those that are not moderate, that are coming here for one reason, and that is to take over this country. And if you are blind, you need to open your eyes, because that's what's happening. And they've even said blatantly, and their recordings and stuff, we're not here to assimilate, we're here to take over. Okay? So again, you see that. You see Europe has been pretty much taken over by Islam. There are mosques everywhere. And they love putting a mosque where a church used to be, because that shows that they have taken domination over that. So again, I'm getting these prophetic videos that I'm going to be showing. I'm just praying, but they're really good. These are really good prophetic teachers. But we are living in this time where we see the prophetic word coming to pass, and we need to get our head out of the sand and stop looking for places to hide and get the word out to people and share them the truth of Messiah with signs and wonders. And I'm praying that God is going to stir up within us the gifts, and that we will not be shy. We will not be afraid to speak forth those words, you know, and basically say, hey, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You know, you could say, well, I feel God is telling me this, and share it if you're not sure, you know, and God will confirm it. But we can't hinder the power of the Ruach, because if they needed it in the first century, believe me, we need it even more now, because we have more demonic powers being raised up. And if you don't believe that, then you haven't been looking at the news or in the newspaper what's going on in the world. I have never in my lifetime seen so much demonic stuff being raised up, and you could feel it in the spirit. And we are going to be attacked more and more, so we need to be strong in the spirit. Even though we're victorious, yes, we still have to stand. We have the call and the charge to pray and stand in the spirit against this. God gave us the authority. Yeshua said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. He gave us the power of the Spirit with signs following. We have to stop limiting God in our life. I don't want to limit God in my life. Joel 2:31, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Prior to the advent of the day of God's judgment, now these are, again, these are comments from Jewish sages, the sun will cease to give forth its light and the moon will turn blood red. Note, when the moon is fully eclipsed, it is blackened. When it is only partially covered, it appears red like blood. That's where we get the blood moons. Now, recently, I think it was in 2016, 2015, 2016, we had the four blood moons, which made them unique was they all fell on a feast day. So that was, you know, a lot of prophetic teaching, that was a sign, again, of the times that we're living in. Again, thereby humiliating all those who worship these celestial bodies. Alternatively, these afflictions will foretold the cataclysmic events which shall befall the nations of Gog and Magog and their allies when they attack the Jewish nation in the end of days. Joel 2:32, and it shall come to pass that whoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those that escape, as the Lord has called, and among the remnant, those whom Yahweh shall call. Trehasar. All those who turn to the Almighty in sincerity will be saved from the great destruction described above. Some maintain that this will include the entire Jewish nations who will return to God and thus be spared. Others contend that only those individuals who will be outstanding in their sanctity and fear of God will escape those cataclysmic events. So again, there's going to be a big time of repentance, I believe, in Israel as well, in our land as well, in the world. There's got to be, again, and those who truly repent, you know, God will, you know, I believe, spare us from some of these things to come. Again, these are judgments. Acts 2:32, God raised up this Yeshua, and we are all witnesses of it. Moreover, he has been exalted to the right hand of God, has been received from the Father what he promised, namely the Ruach HaKodesh, and has poured out this gift which you are both seeing and hearing. For David did not descend into heaven, but he says, Adonai said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know beyond a doubt that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Yeshua, whom you executed on a stake. On hearing this, they were stung to their hearts and said to Kepha and the other emissaries, brothers, what should we do? And Kepha answered and said, turn from sin, return to God. Each of you be immersed in the authority of Yeshua the Messiah into forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. For the promises for you, for your children, and for those who are far away, for as many as Adonai our God may call. So again, the promises for you, speaking to the Jewish people, for your children, for those who are far away, we're calling, you know, those that who have been grafted in, who are outside the covenant, but in Messiah have been brought back into the covenant, as many as Adonai our God may call. If you've been born again, you've been called, and they have promises for you. It didn't end in the first century, which some churches teach. Well, that was just for them. No, it is for every person who comes to Messiah if they receive it. He pressed his case with many other arguments and kept pleading with them, save yourselves from this perverse generation. Boy, if that isn't applicable for today. So those who accepted what he said were immersed. They went into a mikvah and were added to that group that day, about 3,000 people. Oh, wouldn't you love to see 3,000 people saved at one time? Hallelujah. I believe it's possible. And it shall come to pass again that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those that escape, as the Lord has called, and among the remnant those whom Yahweh shall call. Now going back to the signs, just a thought came to me here where it talks about let me just go back here a little bit. Blood, smoke, and fire. And this is something that the Ruach had spoken to Minister Scott's heart. But if you look at that in some commentaries I read, that blood, smoke, and fire could refer to volcanic eruptions, because when a volcano erupts, it causes a great shaking, number one. It spews forth lava, which is red hot. It shoots forth smoke and can blacken the air. And it was quite a few years ago that God spoke to Minister, Scott's heart, saying that you're going to see more and more volcanic eruptions as a sign of my soon return. And we're seeing that. They're even predicting.
Well, you said that I will be at the door coming back.
Amen. Again, these are signs pointing to his return. So we need to be prepared for his return. That's why we're studying the prophets. Hallelujah. That's why we need to study, prophecy and know, so we can tell the sign. And I believe from what I've studied and what I've lived in the past, over 40 years, just as a believer, I can see more and more things are speeding up more, speeding up more and more. Again, evil is being called good, and good is being called evil. That are laws that are trying to pass to make Christianity against the law. You don't think it's happening? It's happening. There's things happening again behind the scenes. But you know what? We're victorious in the end. Hallelujah. Because we're with Yeshua, and he's going to return, praise God. And we already know the end is victory, but we still need to do what we're called to do in the times that we are living in. Praise you, Father. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that you pour out your spirit among us, Father. We need the power of your spirit. We need the anointing of your spirit to be able to stand in these end times, Father. Father, I thank you that among us that we will dream dreams, we'll have visions, we'll prophesy by the power of the Spirit, Father. Father, I thank you that we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and the voice of a stranger we will not follow. And I thank you, Father, that we hear your voice, Father, and we know when you speak to us. Father, help us to be strong in these days to proclaim your truth. Free from fear and strong in you, become mighty warriors for you, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Father, you spoke to my heart about warring, about worship warriors, and about coming against, Father, the enemy who's trying to hinder the blessings, hinder your plan for our lives, Father. And I thank you, we are victorious in all areas, Father, in Yeshua's name. I thank you that you are watching over your word to perform it, Father. Give us discerning hearts. discerning ears, discerning eyes, Father, that we can will know and understand the signs of our times, Father, as foretold by your prophets, Father, from the Tanakh, Father, to the apostolic scriptures, from what Yeshua predicted and warned us of in Matthew 24. You know, I feel, let's go to Matthew 24. I feel that we need to read that to end this. Yeshua, the prophet of all prophets. Hallelujah. We're not going to read all of it. I'm just going to read different tidbits here. Let's go to Matthew 24, 4. And Yeshua answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for these things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains." Even some Jewish rabbis in Israel were saying, we are in the birth pains of the Messiah. "Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many." That's why we need to be discerning. "Because lawlessness," or Torahlessness, that's what that word means, "is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. Then the end will come." Verse 15, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get those things out of their house. Whoever's in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will be. And unless those days had been short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, these days will be cut short." So again, there was a twofold prophetic word. Number one, he was warning the Jewish people, you need to flee because Israel is going to be sacked by the Romans and the temple is going to be torn apart. But there's a second prophetic word pointing to the end of days for those of us that are listening, that we need again to give heed to these warnings that Yeshua said. Verse 32, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near right at the door." Who is he? Yeshua. "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But on that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of God, nor the Son, but the Father alone. So again, just to end, that prophetic word about the fig tree was fulfilled in 1948 when Israel became a nation again. Yeah. After being in exile for almost 1,600 years, I think it was calculating, the longest they've ever been in exile from the land. They returned and reestablished the land of Israel. Yeshua said that generation will see the end of time, the end of things coming. Well, guess what? We are living in that generation. Hallelujah. And if God should bless me to live another 30 years, hallelujah, I hope he does. We'll see that more and more. Again, Israel, you have to keep your eyes on Israel. Israel right now is preparing to rebuild the temple, as prophesied, the third temple. They already have all the temple artifacts ready, the menorah, the priestly garments. They've been researching and making sure that they are exactly according to Torah. all the utensils, everything made as prescribed in the Torah. That's a sign. Again, never before. Again, you're talking about over almost 2,000 years since these things existed. So we know the clock is ticking, hallelujah, and our Messiah is returning, and all Israel will be saved, hallelujah, because God has a covenant with Israel, but they still have to come to know, to knowledge of Messiah, as Yeshua is their Messiah. Then that end time deliverance, they're going to realize that Yeshua is the Messiah because of the supernatural deliverance when this huge army comes against Israel. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Father, for your word today. And thank you that for that. I encourage you to go back and look up these other scriptures and stuff. I put them there, and I'll send you all the notes because the notes have even more detail, but I can't go over all the detail, obviously. I'll send you everything I've taught to date on the book of Joel, all the notes, so you have them to date, just like I did with Hosea as well. Okay, so let's end this. Okay, stop.